Welcome back to Static Rankings, where the rankings are static.
But stay for the shock!
I'm your head shock jock, Ben Creighton, with you as always, with you and me, with us all, forever, always, in our hearts.
It's Kenny Wendorski. Hey, Ben!
Hey! Oh, so Kenny just looked something up. What did you look up?
Static's friend, Richie? This episode is very Richie heavy. This is a Richie special episode, as we talked about last week. I looked up the actor who played him. He's done tons. His name is James Marsden. He's done tons
Spike in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
He gets confused
right. No, that's
with that.
James Marsters.
Yeah. And it's even in the IMDb. They're like the alternate mistaken because there's also a James Marsden who played Cyclops in the X-Men
Cyclops!
Series.
Cyclops!
Yes,
Oh, shit.
No, this actor is not that actor.
What? It's a different James Marsden?
This was more like a child actor who has now become a voice actor. And I know him from, like, just looking at his resume alone. It's like, I've seen that cartoon. But I first originally knew him as, did you ever watch Erie, Indiana?
Wait, Jason Marsden.
Yeah, or let me see if this is.
Hold on.
Jason Marsden.
Okay, so James Marsden is Cyclops.
Yes.
Jason Marsden is the voice actor. Okay, and Erie, Indiana, you say?
Yes, he played a character who was kind of like, I don't know how to describe him. His name was Dash X. He was a kid in Erie, Indiana who had, like, amnesia, and he had two, like, tattoos on his hands, which was, like, a plus-minus sign, but they called him Dash X.
Okay.
Those episodes weren't always my favorite episodes, but he was a reoccurring character in the series, and it only lasted one season, and I fucking loved that show. And they keep rebooting everything, Ben, and I keep hoping, fingers crossed, someday, somehow, Erie, Indiana will make a comeback, somehow. And I know it's streaming because I just watched an episode not that long ago. It was on Amazon Prime. Nice. That's a fun one. And it's super dated, bro. It's like 1991, dated. Like, the film stock, it was probably filmed on VHS, to tell you the truth. But, like, it's charming. It's a weird show. It's a kid from New York, moves to a small town, and weird shit happens in a small town. And it's like Kid X-Files. So
I've got the dude's IMDb up now. You know what else he was in? The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Yes!
Did you ever see
that
show?
I saw that too with Bruce Campbell. It only lasted that one season.
But what a season!
That show was
amazing!
Bruce Campbell, I never heard of him, but I knew Briscoe County Jr. And then later on in life, everyone was like, you never seen the Evil Dead series? I'm like, no, man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you mean the Cowboy Show? Yeah, I know Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. Wild West, weird science, like, apparently a couple of the screenwriters also worked on Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, so it has a lot of that, like,
it was
30s pulp.
Sci-fi, Western,
yeah.
Steampunk.
Weird, funny.
Yeah.
Just super witty, Bruce Campbell doing what he does best. 27 episodes, watch them. They're
that
amazing.
Was a good one.
Yeah.
Welcome to 90s rankings with.
Yep.
Yeah.
God, you know what? If we want to postpone the apocalypse, we could do a lot worse than. And we run out of DCAU stuff to do. We could do a lot worse than putting it to a poll. Do we cover Erie, Indiana or Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.?
It's a win-win either way, Ben. I would. Doesn't matter. Whoever, I do them both.
Just 90 shows that only lasted one season.
Yeah, that could be a fun show.
That's fertile ground. Because, look, I love Murder, She Ranked, and I loved Matt Rankings, which is why we did all of both of those shows, obviously, in the Pocket Dimension.
Yeah.
They're all there. Don't worry about it. Our souls were all in jars. And Reginald brought us back.
Days.
Yeah, let's think back on those days for a while. Okay, well, we just played the clip, and boy, man, the fun times we had.
Your hair was long
back
then.
You know what? I might have to cut that part out and release it as a bonus episode, because it went long, just that whole clip show.
Yeah.
So check your feed for that bonus episode. If you can't find it, again, don't message me. It's there, and it's on you for not being able to find it.
It's
get
on
better.
Yeah, it's on the DVD.
It's right there.
Special features.
Just press play. Fuck, I don't know. I'm not your tech support. Back to Static Shock.
Yes, okay, so...
So
anyway,
today
that was our
watched,
side tangent, and yes, you should definitely watch those shows we mentioned. But
today you should watch, if you haven't already, pause the show and watch Sons of the Fathers, because this one is not skippable. I'm gonna spoil it right now. This is a very special episode.
Yes. So we open with we're at
remember
the house.
Remember the Morlocks?
I do remember the Morlocks.
They're attacking the food court.
As they tend to do.
Yup. And it's a pretty short caper. Static swoops in, kicks all their asses, because of course he does. Although an old lady, a kick-ass old lady, hits, remember Shiv, the laughy, jokey dude who can conjure energy weapons? She maces him in the face.
Yeah.
So, Static doesn't even have to kick his ass. A literal old lady takes him down, which I you'll love to see it.
We should mention, this is the team we've seen before. It's the Bird, Talon. Yep. It's the goo guy, Ebon.
Yes.
And then Shiv, the laser Green Lantern effect guy. And like you said, they're causing havoc. But this time, Talon gets arrested.
Yep. Static takes him out, Talon gets arrested, yeah. Ebon gets out. There's a pretty cute moment where where Static is talking to reporters, and he calls himself something like the Funky Fresh Hero that can save your butt, or something like that. It's just like, I love how Virgil is he very much plays as a maybe 15, 16-year-old kid who's a total nerd trying to be cool for the cameras.
Yeah, oh, sure.
I think that was part of what I didn't like about this show as a kid, just catching scenes here and there, like, that's... We didn't have the word cringe back then. It was the Pleistocene era, but...
it looks lame. Like, lame was a popular thing. I don't know about that. That shit looks lame. It's
pretty lame. I mean, unfortunately, we weren't good progressive people. I probably would have called it gay at the time.
Yeah,
and I'm not proud of that now, but you know what? If we don't admit our mistakes, we can't grow from them.
I remember the animation wasn't super...
It was a little off-putting.
That was but, one of the things that kind of turned me off. I was like, I don't really want to watch this. It looks too plain.
Yeah, but as a kid, I would see a line like that and go, oh, that's dumb, that's lame. As an adult, it's like, no, that's in character.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm more generous to this show now than I was back then, but we cut from that to Virgil and Richie, like, brainstorming new catchphrases.
Now, yes. The father had made a mention, too, because they were watching the news of the breakup, and that Talon had been arrested, and the dad said, it's like, oh, man, that kid, he's the ego on that kid, and Virgil's like, I don't know, that seemed pretty cool to me, Pops. In other words, like, hey, thought that was neat.
Yep, it's, but we get Virgil and Richie just kicking back in Static's bedroom, talking about new catchphrases, just... High school dudes hanging out stuff feels very real and lived in, which is kind of important for this episode because it's going to really lean on that Static or Virgil Richie rather friendship. Because Virgil says it comes up in conversation. Virgil realizes, you know what I just realized? We never, or I think Sharon makes a joke like, oh,
yeah,
are you back
food.
Home, Richie? Eating all our food, hanging out at our place. And Virgil says, you know what? It is a little weird that we're best friends, and I've never been to your house or met your dad. And Richie, like, sort of tugs on his collar, like, you don't want to meet my dad. Of course I do. You're my pal. Oh, well, you could come over to dinner next Friday. And he's seeming real nervous. Something's up with Richie's dad. And I write in my notes, Richie's dad's super racist, I bet.
Yeah.
And I call... It's too bad that... Well, no. I probably wouldn't have guessed that just from the title. But
maybe.
Maybe I would have, but we'll never know. That's not part of the... That's why, see, if we were doing science, we would have to do a guessing game every episode.
Yeah.
But this time it's not science, it's sports, it's a mm-hmm. game. We're mm-hmm. shock jocks.
Yeah.
It's a trivia quiz show or something, I don't know.
Yeah, we can say whatever we want.
Yeah.
And not we could find billions of dollars yeah. by saying things that are ludicrously wrong.
We could be super racist if we wanted to. I don't really want to.
This is so
weird. That feels gross. Let's not.
So we're doing this kind of weird. I'm in my garage right now, so I can see yep. Ben in the little box in my corner. And seeing Ben's facial expression, he's like, we could be super racist. Was priceless. That was, if we could have made that a thumbnail, that would have been awesome.
But true to form, Virgil shows up for dinner with Richie's folks. God, I'm trying to remember Richie's last name.
Cunningham.
No. Well, it is now. Richie Cunningham. You sneaky bastard. That's his canon name.
I can find it.
Because I'll remember
Richie
that
Foley.
One. Foley, that's right.
There we go.
Yep.
Thanks, IMDb. I'm going to keep this IMDb open next to me just
yeah.
in case. It's been
it's
real
not bad.
Handy.
To have. Richie's dad's super racist.
Yeah.
And in fact, his dad wasn't even supposed to be there. Richie had called out a date when he thought his dad would be working late and wouldn't be there at dinner. But he got let out early, came home early, so Richie's dad's there, and it is the most awkward dinner.
Yeah. So because Mr. Foley like walks in the door, not saying anything super specific, but basically saying this town's going to hell, and you know why? It's because of and then he sees Static Shock. I keep saying
Virgil.
Virgil.
Yeah.
He's like, the fuck's going on? And he's here for dinner, and we're gonna have a little sleepover party or whatever.
Yeah.
Goddamn, grouchy old man.
they go to dinner, and Richie says something Virgil says, hey, we go into the record store, which, again, for you children in the audience, physical place where you could buy music, different time. We're going to check out the new rap album. And Richie's like, ixnay, but it's already set
yeah.
Papa Foley off.
It's
that music is, it's a bad influence, and it teaches kids to draw graffiti on walls. And Virgil's like, well, yeah, I mean, some of it, but some of it has a super positive message. Nah, it's all crap. And boy, I related so hard to Richie in this moment.
I didn't want to say anything, but there, it felt a little, yeah, I'll let you, because I don't want to, like, but sometimes Ben's dad, sometimes.
My dad says some shit, and I think he probably says less shit. With you around, because he knows, my dad knows.
He probably,
that he,
more so with Greg. With me, probably less.
Maybe, but, I mean, well, and here's the thing. Just in case anybody didn't know, both Greg, our mutual high school friend, and Kenny, my two best friends in high school, both also super white. So,
yeah.
I did not have a black best friend in high school. I just didn't.
Yeah.
But my dad, not in the presence of anyone outside the immediate family, but has been known to refer to rap music, not in many, many years, but has been known to refer to rap music as...
And then Samuel Jackson goes, hey, motherfucker, it's just another Tuesday. Fuck these niggas.
Word music.
Yes, there you go. Okay.
Yep. It's not a good thing, and I've never been entirely sure how to handle it. And it bothers me a lot.
It's your dad, though. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and you know what I need? And here's the thing. The last time I remember him doing it, I would have been in high school. And my dad and I butted heads a lot in high school about a lot of things.
I remember one of your birthdays, it was at a sushi place, or teppanyaki, mm-hmm. Sakura! Ah! And,
okay.
I was dating a girl at the time. And her name was Amanda, and I remember telling her, all right, so Ben's dad's going to be there, so it might be a little awkward. He's a little different. He's a military guy, so his sense of humor is a little Heads up, he might say something that might be a little shocking or whatever, but just play cool. It's Ben's birthday. So.
Yep. All of which is to say that, yeah, my dad, he is pretty racist. He will not be racist, even as racist as what Richie's dad says about rap music. He would not do that to a black person's face. Let alone the shit he says later in this episode to a black person's face.
Yeah.
But when he is in company where he thinks he can get away with it, my dad will say some racist shit. And the thing is, he knows he's on the wrong side of history. And he's just barely managed to get himself to a place where he is fit for human company. But he will push the envelope and see what he can get away with. Yeah. And it's awkward, and I hate the idea of a black person listening to this show hearing me say that and then hearing me say, but he's my dad and I love him, because I do. He is my dad and I love him, but I can't defend that behavior. And it bothers me. It's, you know, it fucking sucks.
But meanwhile, back to Batman.
He's in his 70s and he's a cancer survivor. And if it makes anybody out there happy to know that he'll be dead soon, he probably will be.
Yes.
I've been known to say about people who are not my father, yeah, he sucks, but he's old and he'll be dead soon. So I can't begrudge if somebody says that about my dad. Fucking sucks, man. But back to Static.
Get back to Static.
Back to very uncomfortable conversations.
Yes! They're having one in his bedroom, his best pal's bedroom, and he's like, I'm gonna go use the bathroom real quick. He goes to the bathroom. Virgil.
Well, before that, I noticed that Virgil and Richie are kind of decompressing about it, like, and Richie's trying to... Actually, Virgil is trying to give Mr. Foley the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, it's because Richie's, you know, of course, all apologies. I'm so sorry that my dad would say that he would put you in that position. Virgil says, well, I mean, he didn't say anything. I mean, he doesn't like rap music, but, you know, not everybody has to like every kind of music. He's just from a different generation. He says in these words, it's not a black-white thing. It's just an old person thing.
Yeah.
And then Virgil goes to the bathroom, walks past the door where he hears some shit through the closed bedroom door that Richie's dad is saying to Richie's mom that, no, it's not an old person thing. It's a black-white thing.
Yeah, he's talking to the wife, and he's essentially saying, it's like, scum like that shouldn't be in my house. What the F? And my son's hanging out with him, and he's, you know,
they're black. Ruining society. Yeah. He's going to be a bad influence, you know, not in my backyard. Yeah, it's really uncomfortable shit.
Yeah.
Like, it manages, man, give this show all its kudos. It manages to make this, like, really ugly and hard to hear with that while still being network television appropriate. Because by 2001, there was a time when you could drop the N-word on national television. And it was like, it would show that the person saying it was a piece of shit, but still you could say it. By 2001, certainly couldn't on this show.
Yeah.
But it's like this show's version of, like, the violence that you don't see is scarier. It's like, it manages to be just as upsetting without just dropping an N-bomb.
Oh, sure.
If not more so, because it felt real.
Static is going to leave the house. He's kind of bummed out. He's like, ah, man, he is pretty racist. I'm going to leave. This is very uncomfortable. And Richie's like, dude, I'm so sorry. Holy shit, I'm so sorry. So he leaves, and then Richie confronts his dad. He's like, Dad! Dad! What the hell, man? What the hell?
So Richie is under the impression at this point, and I think Static's just shell-shocked, or Virgil, rather. Virgil is just shell-shocked by the whole thing, so it's kind of uncomfortable the way they leave things. Virgil does not, like, he's not blaming or accusatory towards Richie at all, but neither does he really, like, Virgil's dealing with his own shit at the moment, so he doesn't really reassure Richie either, mm-hmm. Richie is under the impression that he just lost his best friend, because in his mind, like, why would he be friends with me after an experience like this? This fucking... So he's yelling at his dad, I just lost my best friend because of you and your stupid racism, and pieces out the house.
Yeah. And, Static had gone home, and he had, like, a nice dinner with his dad, and I guess he explained everything that had happened to his dad. And his dad is telling him, like, look, son, that's going to happen a lot. It's unfortunate, but yes, this is something that you will have to experience. And, but your buddy, he's still cool, and he's going to need you as a friend. So, like, you should probably check in on him, which is important because, like you had said, he had peaced out. He's gone on his own. He's kind of, like, run away from the house.
Yep, and in fact, Richie's mom calls Virgil's house, says, Richie's missing. Did he go home with you? Do you know where he is? And nobody knows where he is, and we cut over to a character I didn't expect to see again. You remember Carmen Dillo?
Oh, yes! I forgot about that. There's a little fight with that guy.
Yeah, he and, I want to say a wolf man?
Yes.
Who named Chompers.
He has, like, a glowing tattoo on his arm or something like that. Because remember the tribal tattoo that used to be all popular on the arm?
Yeah. They're hassling Richie in an alley.
After you're done with this podcast, can you take me to Ross?
Maybe, if you're a good girl. All
right.
Want to say hi to Ben? Want to say hi?
Hi.
Can you say hi to our listeners at home?
Hi.
This is my daughter, Etta. She's 7 years old, and she's awesome. Give us a little privacy while we finish it up.
Yeah.
Thanks, babe.
So you gotta, you need a more specific topography than if you're a good girl. You gotta say something specific. If you do the dishes, if you finish your homework.
I didn't think of
something,
that.
Something measurable. If she wants something, you gotta get something out of her.
Shit. Playing the chess game and not checkers, my old pal.
I say the childless man in his 40s.
I'll tell you, as a parent, I'm usually too tired to think three steps ahead. So yeah, I'll take it.
See, this is why I like my gig. I go in, I have fun. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I break a chokehold. But I get to clock out at the end of the day. You don't. So anytime, you know.
I am one episode into Fallout. That's a new show based on a game. It's very good. But one episode in, and I can't keep going with it because the kids won't leave me alone.
I hear it's very gory.
Yeah.
Not appropriate for children.
No, so I always have to wait till they're asleep. But then usually I'm tired by then too. So God damn it.
So anyway, Carmen Dillo and Chompers are hassling Richie. He's running away from him. Meanwhile, Richie's dad, Mr. Foley, is hassling Virgil's dad. Goes and finds him at the community center. It's a weird dynamic because I think Richie's dad is just like concerned, worried, scared, and is looking for somebody to take it out on because he starts with, well, tell me what you know. You know where my kid is. Your son is, and your kind. Wait, what do you mean your kind?
Yeah.
You're a good for nothing. And Pops Hawkins is a fucking saint because he cuts right through all the bullshit and says, look, I know your son. He comes to this community center. He's a good kid. So you may be a piece of shit, but get your coat. I don't know where he is specifically, but I know a few places we can check because Pops Hawkins is real, like, plugged into the neighborhood. He knows where runaways hang out. We're gonna go check around. And then Richie's dad makes a flip. What? I don't need your help. Well, then what did you come here for?
Yeah.
Okay, I need your help, but I don't have to like it.
Yeah. And
so they're going to go.
They're going to have their little separate adventure. Meanwhile, yep. Richie, finally Static is able to get a hold of Richie through his little walkie-talkie. And he's like, hey, man, everyone's worried. Where are you at? And he's like, I just kind of need to be left alone. And it's snowing. This is a very snowy episode. Lots of coldness. Everyone's wearing jackets and what have you.
Yep.
So he says, like, hey, did the cold mess you up in the brain? You need to come home or someplace safe. Where are you at right now? I'll come get you. And so he says his location. But unbeknownst to him, Ebon! Yeah. That yep. fuckface! He's been hiding in, like, the alleyway the whole time. So when he gives the information, he's able to swoop up and get Richie.
Right, because, yeah, Ebon had sort of sworn revenge against Static for getting Shiv maced and Talon arrested. And so he's been tailing Static as Static's been, as Static, flying around on his flying saucer looking for Richie. Ebon's been following him, and as soon as he hears over the radio, aha, this person is friends with Static. I'm going to grab him and hold him hostage. And he does.
Yeah, he takes him to their secret hideout. And Richie still has his walkie-talkie, though, in his back pocket. So Richie's tied up, and he's kind of mocking Ebon, but he's giving away the location. Now, unbeknownst to Ebon, he doesn't know the walkie-talkie's there. So Static is kind of like, he showed up and saw his buddy was missing. He's like, what the fuck? So he's picking up radio chatter of his buddy saying, look at your stupid warehouse in the middle of the town, across the street from the abandoned Arby's. That's on 4th Street, just next to the bridge. You know, he's getting him the coordinates or getting him the way to get there. And so Static Shock's like, okay. He's been kidnapped. Yep.
Meanwhile, back with Pops Hawkins and Papa Foley, they're going to all the teen runaway hangouts where we're seeing, once again, Pops Hawkins is a saint. He's asking around, showing pictures of Richie. Kids, I don't know, dude. Yeah, Pops Hawkins and Papa Foley are talking about, these kids. Papa Foley's like, look at all these scumbags. They're probably all bad influences, too. They suck. And Papa Hawkins says, hey, you know, lots of kids don't get along with their folks. You know, they might be coming from abusive households, or they might have just had an argument about something like racism. Is that something you want to talk about, Fuckface? Because... And past a certain point, the speech is just amazing. Papa Hawkins finally, like, gets fed up with Foley's bullshit and gives him a piece of his mind. Tells him exactly what he thinks of him. And then, you know, you're ignorant, you're a bigot, and you suck, like, but your kid's cool.
Yeah, there was a reason why your kid left. And it's because of you, bro. You're the reason. That's why. You're the asshole. Not me. Just because I'm black, you're the one who's caused this whole situation to unfold. So, fuck you.
Yep. And Foley basically just doesn't have a thing to say to him. But by this point, so one of the kids at the homeless runaway shelter place had heard Foley's asshole racist rant, and to fuck with this jerk who's showing up and judging them, says, hey, you should go to the abandoned warehouse across from the gas station by the Pizza Hut, because that's the newest place where people hang out. You'll probably find him there, or else get killed by Morlocks.
Maybe.
You know, one of those two things. Go check it out, old dudes.
And they keep bringing Morlocks back in.
They're basically Morlocks. Yeah. They call themselves the Meta Breed, I think. Like Ebon's whole crew. Yeah. They're Morlocks. Yeah. It's fine.
So they're in, like, the abandoned subway sewer headquarters.
Yep. So they wind up, the two dads wind up getting there ahead of Static, only to find a freaky shadow man holding Richie hostage. And props to both of them for this much. They fucking throw down. Yeah. Like, superpowered mutants?
They
fuck
go
it,
at
let's
it.
Go.
They both are, you know, they know their outcome. They don't care. They got a boy to save, and by God, they do their best. But they don't have superpowers.
There's a moment, because of course there is, where Ebon, so finally Static swoops in, solo Shiv, but he's getting his ass kicked by Ebon, and Mr. Foley has to kind of redeem himself in the end. Seems like Static's on the ropes, but it's Foley with the chair.
Yeah. Give him the
and
chair.
There's a wrestler named Mick Foley, and I don't know wrestling very much, and I looked and looked to find an audio clip of an announcer saying, it's Foley with the chair. There's nothing.
Okay.
apparently he got his ass beat with a chair in a very famous match with The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, at one point.
Oh.
But there's no Foley with the chair, just Foley getting his ass kicked with by the chair. So, sorry. That would have been a really dope idea for a sound clip, but now I've ruined it!
Nice going, genius! Gosh!
Yeah.
So...
But...
But anyway, Static is able to fight Ebon off. They are... I don't think they get apprehended. I think they just escape.
Yeah, pretty sure.
And of course, Richie, he saw it all. They run to each other. Dad! Son! Dad! Son! And then Static, who's next to... Unbeknownst to his actual father, he's next to him. Yep. And he said something like, warms the heart or something to that effect. And the dad says, you're a kid. Shouldn't you be home or studying or something like that? And that's when Static pieces out like, yes, sir. And I didn't know if you caught this. Did it feel like the dad sort of gave an odd look?
I didn't catch that, but now that you brought it up, it's something I'll be looking for in future.
I
will say that it's not quite a Lois Lane meets Superman and somehow doesn't know it's Clark Kent situation.
It's not a... Yeah.
Static, make sure to keep his back to Papa Hawkins at all times. So it's, you know... Obviously, Papa Hawkins knows what Static's face looks like, but he's only seen it on a TV screen or in newsprint. Never up close face to face. So... slightly more suspension of disbelief there.
Yeah.
But maybe you're right. Maybe he figured something out there. We'll have to watch and find out.
Yes, I would like to keep an eye on that if you would like to join
me.
Or a little counter, or not even a counter, but just keep it. When is the dad going to find out the secret identity? If he even does. I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll have to find out. Because, yeah, I have absolutely no idea if Papa Hawkins ever gets let in on the secret. But in the meantime, Mr. Foley apologizes to Richie, excuse me, there are two people standing right there that you should also be a putt. No, we're just going to, okay. But we do a little cut forward, and it seems like Foley is cool with the Hawkinses now, and he probably still doesn't like rap music, but he's driving Virgil and Richie to Comic-Con, and it seems like sort of all is forgiven. Maybe a little too easily, but that's...
He makes a comment that, I've always heard about these things. I'd like to go to a comic book convention. And Static says something about, like, oh, yeah, people dress up with makeup and all that. And Richie's like, hey, I want to see his face when he sees people dressed up like that. So then that's how the episode ends.
Yep. So, thus ends Sons of the Fathers. Kenny, how'd you like this episode?
I like this one.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
The ending I found a little brief, but I also recognize this is a show for, maybe older kids, but still intended to be accessible to young kids as well. And it's a little rough. It would be a little rough to end the episode with Richie's dad still being an asshole, even though I think... that, or it doesn't have to be Richie's dad, but I think it might also be a lesson that kids need to learn that, yeah, there are some fucked up people out there, and as much as you would like to change them all, sometimes you can't, and that sucks.
Yeah.
But that's a little heavier than this show was willing to get this episode, at least.
It went pretty far for 01.
It really did.
I think it went pretty far for current day. Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of cartoons tackling the subject of racism.
Yeah, and I think it does it with nuance. I like the use of the Morlocks. I liked how the superheroics plot dovetailed really nicely with the... I was about to say high school hijinks, but it's not. It's character drama, you know? It's high school in the best way, where they feel like real kids.
Everything about this
dealing with
real.
Some shit.
That awkward dinner and like... wanting to go to your friend's house and all of that just felt like, yeah, that's real shit that a kid would experience.
Yep. So that's this episode, but I'm gonna give it pride of place. It's now sitting on my Mount Shockmore.
Ah.
As as of right now, you know, the list is always in flux and subject to change, but right now it's Shock to the System and this one.
Nice.
Sitting on my Mount Shockmore of my favorite episodes of this show so far. I think this one definitely deserves its spot.
Yeah.
So let's see if we think next week's episode will deserve its spot, because it's prediction time. Kenny, did you take your spice melange?
No.
Okay. Kenny's going clean. I'm riding high on Chai Halud. Okay. I don't mind telling you, buddy.
Woo!
So I'm going to summon my my spice agony, and we're going to try to figure out what is the next episode Winds of Change about.
Ooh. Winds of Change.
Yeah. So I've got, okay, I'm consulting the Oracle. I've got my prediction locked in.
Okay, you go first, because I'm still thinking.
Okay, so I think, at first I was thinking Winds could be a metahuman with, like, wind powers, like Storm, but then I thought, no, that's too easy. I'm going to focus on the change. I predict that our metahuman is going to have some sort of time travel powers, where something bad happens, and they can go back in time and change it, but it's going to be like Butterfly Effect,
ooh,
where every change they make winds up having an ironic twist and making things worse.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's my call. What are you thinking?
See, I was going to say somebody who can control the weather. So I'm going to go with somebody who's like a storm.
Okay, all right. So
you got time travel, and I got storm.
All right, well, we're still sitting pretty at 0-0, so we'll see if somebody scores their first point next week. In the meantime, Kenny, where can folks find you on the internet?
At Weisky TV on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
And you can find me at twitch.tv/BenCrayton and BenCrayton at BSky and probably other places too, but you can always find us right here at anchor.fm/batrankings. You can pledge $1, $5, or $10 a month. You can get on the Discord server at bit.ly/landoftheblind. You can tell a friend, you can subscribe, you can leave us a voice message. These are all the things you can do.
I just want
you can tune in. Oh, go ahead.
I wanted to show you something. So I got a notification. I don't know if this will pick up, but I got 4 new notifications that somebody went to Weisky TV. So, I'm sorry, I got 4 Weisky
four
TV
views.
Has 4 new views. I am so sorry.
Sick.
I ain't got shit for like 2 years. I'm so sorry.
Well, there's, trust me, it's longer than I've had anything. It's probably about as long since I've had anything on my main YouTube channel.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/HBI2Plays. Actually, I should shout that one out. That's where the archives of my Twitch streams go. But lately, I've actually had an editor cut them up into highlight reels, so cut out the boring parts.
Ooh.
So that's actually probably a good place to go. So yeah, you can go there. And you can join us next week for the Winds of Change.
It's Storm. It's going to be a storm.
Storm or Butterfly Effect. It's windy.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. I put a shock to your system.